Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I want to welcome you to episode 370 of the podcast, Who's Paying Attention? And I want to be honest with you. I almost forgot to do a podcast this week. I am working in Las Vegas at Brad Garrett's new comedy club at the MGM Grand. Beautiful club. Fun week. George Wallace dropped in, did a guest spot. That was great. And Yamanika Saunders, who's hilarious, is also in town. She's over at the Cellar. And what happens when you come to Vegas as a comic, you end up hanging out with the other comics and this and that. And it's also a break from the news. You know, these kind of gigs, I kind of cut back on my reading of the news. So not that I'm partying all over Vegas. I'm certainly not. Those days are behind me, people. But anyway, here we are. We're talking. It's been an interesting week. I don't know what the biggest news is this week. Probably Biden's loan forgiveness, $10,000 forgiven on college loans. And that is a very small amount, you know, compared to what most people have borrowed for college. They're forgiving $10,000 of debt for people who have who earn less than $125,000 a year, which, of course, the Republicans see as the end of the world. Now, many of these Republicans, led by Marjorie Taylor Greene, because why not, were fine with forgiveness of their PPP loans. She was forgiven $89,000 on her government PPP loan during the pandemic. But, excuse me, of course, that was different than these irresponsible young people with their college loans not learning to pay them back. Donald Trump has skated out on hundreds of millions of dollars using bankruptcy, but that's just a good businessman. These kids are irresponsible, not paying off their student loans. And then, of course, it's really comical at this point how you talk about self-owning, how Republicans really tell the truth of what's going on and what they really care about. So we've got Congressman Jim Banks, Republican from Indiana, who said the student loan forgiveness plan will hurt the U.S. military's ability to recruit, which tells the truth that they take advantage of poor, low-income people, recruiting them to the military because they can't afford college. It doesn't affect upper middle class or rich people because they can't afford to send their kids to college. And he just told the truth about how they use this, you're going to go to college, as a con to get people in the military. And the reason I say it's a con is because once you get in there, who knows what's going to happen. The promises made by recruiters are quite often not kept. And I've heard that from military members in the various shows I've done. But that shouldn't be a military recruitment tool, right? It shouldn't be, well, we're going to make college so expensive and we're not going to help you with the paying for it so that you have to join the military. That just doesn't sound right, but it is what it is. And they said it, and I don't think the $10,000 is enough, but it is $10,000. It's a start. So that was one of the big stories this week. And, you know, there's so much going on. Okay, I'm gonna go into, I don't know, maybe some not as big stories, but they struck me. They're what would I call them? Microisms of truth. Yeah, I'm gonna call them that. Microisms of truth. For example, and by the way, truth always ruins the narrative. The Republican narrative of law and order, Blue Lives Matter, and all of that. Okay, can we just stop it? Can we just stop it with that? Because we have the New York cop right now from the January 6th insurrection who attempted to gouge out the eye of a Capitol police officer with a flagpole, American flag, by the way, and he's facing 17 years in prison. And they're complaining. They're saying that that's too much time and that's not fair. He attacked a cop with a flagpole. Yeah, Law and Order. We know about their fight against the FBI raid on Mar-a-Lago, and we're only finding out more and more. This violates the Espionage Act. What's the Republican response? Well, Rand Paul says, let's get rid of the Espionage Act. Why? Because why shouldn't you be able to take classified documents to your home and lock them in a closet next to the golf course? It's unbelievable. In California, they just had, you know, and again, truth ruins the narrative. So everyone thinks that California is progressive, and it is for the most part. But there are definitely some heavily Republican right-wing parts of California. The middle of California, let me explain my view of California. It's the United States turned on its side. Meaning, if you looked at L.A. and San Francisco as the coasts, then Central California would be Middle America. And that's the way it is. It's very right-wing, very Trumpy. Guess where the highest violent crime and murder rates are in California? In the right-wing counties in the middle of California, places like Bakersfield and Tulare. These are the places. So L.A., for example, has a very progressive DA. Perhaps too progressive, but he's into less sentencing and alternatives to sending people to jail. He's not one of these, you know, tough guy, you're going to go to jail forever kind of politicians. And of course, they consider him soft on crime. And what do Republicans love? What do they love? A recall. So they want to recall him because that's how they win elections, right? They just, you know, we don't like the outcome of that election. Let's recall whoever was elected. It's what they do. So far, that hasn't worked. He hasn't been recalled. But the point being that the majority of these, the majority of murders, the highest murder rates are in these lock 'em up counties, these lawmen, these crazy sheriffs and whatever else. Yeah, that's where the highest murder rates are. The murder rates in Bakersfield are almost double what they are in L.A., 16 per 100,000 versus 8 per 100,000. And, these things, they don't work. These are the microcosms I'm talking about. This is the truth. Okay, and if you expand it nationwide, it still holds up as the truth. These things don't work. And they're all for the lock 'em up attitude. Until they start breaking the law. Then suddenly, things are a little strict. Things are a little too much. A little too much law and order when you're breaking the law and I say that off too often right now. Just means I'm beyond any answer. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what to think. Another interesting, you know, on this same topic of the United States and our violent crime and how we've reached the point where we accept it as normal. I had some friends at the show last night, a couple from Canada that live in the United States, and they still have a house in Canada, and he's talking about selling it. And I jokingly said, well, you might want to hang on to that Canadian citizenship because, you know, we here in the United States, we're not doing too well. Never know which way it's going to go. And his wife agreed. And, you know, we started talking about they have two children in elementary school. And we were talking about the insanity of shootings. And she said, you know, I have to realistically think, am I going to buy my kids bulletproof backpacks? That's insane. That's insane the fact that they sell bulletproof backpacks and the fact that that is a decision that a mother has to make and it's considered okay. That is absolute insanity, what we consider normal in this country. We have to do better. How do you explain that? We had another racist outbreak in Plano, Texas. A woman, and again, this is the insanity of it. This woman is Mexican-American. Okay, first generation, second generation. Her parents immigrated to the U.S. And she was attacking a group of Indian women for having accents, yelling at them, cursing at them, Assault is when you verbally attack. She committed battery. She actually hit and pushed him. And then she threatened to get her gun out of her purse and shoot him. And it being Texas, she more than likely had a gun in that purse. Now, she's been arrested for the outbreak. But this is, you know, and we can all do jokes about it being another Karen. And somebody joked, I didn't know Karens came in brown because she's Mexican-American. But the truth is, this is normal. This is normal. These videos pop up, if not daily, certainly weekly, somebody going on a racist tirade, attacking somebody merely for their existence in the United States. A nation of immigrants, I might add. We are a nation of immigrants, and you have people who were immigrants getting mad at other immigrants for coming to the U.S. So because your parents or your grandparents came here seeking, quote, a better life, then you're allowed to attack people who came in this generation seeking a better life. It's crazy. She was yelling at them for having accents, and she lives in Texas. In Texas. Guess what, angry lady? There are accents in Texas. It's a southern drawl. It is part of Texas. But that you just consider charming. We know there's a housing crisis in America. Again, California could be the microcosm of it. Homelessness in L.A. and San Francisco, a huge problem, probably one of the biggest issues L.A. is going to deal with the mayoral election this fall. And the NIMBYs still don't get it. This is the division between the haves and the have-nots, the rich and the poor, however you want to call it. So there's a town in Silicon Valley. Silicon Valley is the area of California just south of San Francisco, north of San Jose, in that area. It's where all the Silicon tech millionaires and billionaires live and have their companies. There is a suburb known as Atherton, and it is the richest. It is the richest of the rich. It's where the billionaires live, and they have their estates gated and so on. And it's so funny. So led by Mark Anderson, who's a billionaire venture capitalist, and, you know, backed up by Michael Roan and Michelle Ryan. And so these billionaires are upset because California has passed new rules allowing for the building of multifamily dwellings. And they're worried about multifamily dwellings ruining their billionaire neighborhood. Okay, first of all, who's going to build multifamily dwellings in Atherton? Like it's impossible to imagine how much each of these places, if you built some townhouses or condos, how much each of them would cost. But this is funny. This is how how comically clueless, but also manipulative, these NIMBYs are. What they're trying to do to count housing is to count their pool houses, because their pool houses do have a bathroom, so they can be considered a dwelling, and to count the houses that they keep for the staff of their estate. So I guess that's considered low-income housing, right? Whatever house you have the butler and the maid staff living in. Think about being, and this is what always fascinates me, about being that scared of other people, about being that worried about it. These people are billionaires, multi-billionaires. What's wrong with building some housing for working class people who work for you near your neighborhood? It ain't going to kill you. They certainly aren't going to be in your neighborhood. They're not going to get past the gate to your estate. Okay, what's the problem? You're going to have to drive past someone who works for a living that doesn't work for you. You're going to have to drive past someone other than the security guard keeping them away from your home. Who are these people? How much money do you get? How much money does it take to become that much of a piece of shit? That's the question I have. At what point in money do you just say, yeah, I no longer care about anybody? the world is mine, whatever. I don't even know. But it's a microism because it's going on everywhere. These billionaires are just not good people. Not good people. My last California story. That's what this podcast, I guess, is turning into, California stories, right? The California Air Resources Board, along with the governor, have said that there'll be no gas-powered cars sold in California by the year 2035. Now, will this hold up? I don't know. But it's very interesting to me, as anyone who listens to this knows, I'm a car and a bike nut, and I like engines. I do like engines. I get it. We have to clean the air. We have to save on emissions. I think the biggest problem with electric and alternative fuel vehicles is the infrastructure makes using these vehicles difficult. You know, it's easy to charge them when you're at home and when you're in cities. When you're traveling between cities, it's a little more difficult to do. I'm not against it. I'm not a big fan of Teslas, as many of you know. But, you know, I'm okay with electric cars. I'm probably going to stick to gas. I think it's going to make gas-powered cars very collectible. And I think it's going to be funny over the next couple of weeks or months or whatever. The Republicans will be yelling about California, blah, 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 blah. And then when their kid needs an abortion, they'll fly out to California to get it. Yeah, so I'm not too worried about them and what they say. But I don't know how this is going to play out. It is a very interesting development to actually ban, and it's banning the sales of new gas-powered vehicles. So it's not saying that they won't be allowed on the road. They just won't be selling any new ones. Right now, 16% of the vehicles sold in California are electric or alternative fuel vehicles. And they're trying to bring that up. I think 2026, they wanted 35%. And then, you know, it's a sliding scale and a rising percentage. So maybe it'll happen. Maybe it'll happen. I think there'll be some fights against this in the courts. And I think it puts the automakers on notice that if you are not in the electric car business, you better step up your game, because California buys more cars than any state in the United States. So we'll see what happens. I received some bad news today. Joey DeFrancesco, probably considered the best Hammond B organ player in jazz. I was lucky enough to know Joey D. Phenomenal guy, incredible musician, has played with, you know, everyone from Miles Davis on, had his own jazz show on Sirius, and obviously was a regular on our jazz cruises. Joey D passed away, and it's sad. It's always sad to hear a friend and a talent has left us. So shout out to Joey D. May you rest in peace, my friend. Thank you for all the beautiful music. And finally, the good news, because I'm trying to bring the good news. Today's National Dog Day. And as you know, I love dogs. I love my dog, the Hulk. The Hulk is my best friend and the greatest therapist I ever had. There's no better way to live in the moment than having a dog. A friend of mine who does dog rescue just got a Great Dane. And he said he fosters them. He keeps them for, you know, days, weeks, or whatever until they find permanent homes. He's like, this one's going to be hard to let go of. She's so sweet. Great Danes are awesome dogs. Whatever dog you have, spoil them a little today. Spoil her a little today. An extra treat, an extra toy, an extra bone. Maybe just an extra hug or an extra pat. It's National Dog Day. Many people say that we don't deserve our dogs. They're so good to us. I agree with that statement. Dogs are phenomenal. Nothing against cats, but dogs are phenomenal. So I wish you a happy dog day as I record this. And who's paying attention? You are. Can we do better? Yes. Will we do better? Remains to be seen. But we seem to be getting a couple of things right. So good luck. Stay safe. And I'll try to remember to do my podcast in a timely manner.